gosh. I cried a little bit. It was fantastic. I just wanted to say that in the mic. Anyways, we're going to worship. This is the ladies' chapel here. If you guys would stand and sing with us, we are going to get started.
Some glad morning when this life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away, we're singing, I'll fly away, oh glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. When the shadows of this life are gone, I'll fly away. Like a serve God, love me and men. This is not the end. Lived unbruised, we are friends. And I'm sorry. And I'm sorry. I no more, one foot in sea, one on shore. My heart was never pure, and you know me, as you know. Man is a giddy thing. Oh, man is a giddy thing.
dismay or enslave you, it will set you free. Be more like the man you were made to be. And there is a design and alignment to cry of my heart, you see. The beauty of love as it was made to be. Love that will not betray you, dismay or enslave you, it will set you free. Be more like a man you were made to be. There is a design and alignment to cry at my heart, you see. The beauty of love. Love that will not betray you, dismay or enslave you, it will set you free. Be more like the man you were made to be. There is a design and alignment to cry at my heart, you see. The beauty of love.
Thank you. time, hold my good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus told me you went a stranger, wandering from the fold of God. He to rescue me from danger is opposed.
To your word, to your message, God. Be with Emily as she brings it to us. We love you so much. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Be seated.
Been a hootenanny of a chapel. We had a secular song and a new song and some hymns. So if you don't like it, I pray that you forgive us. And I hope that I can bring this message and kind of give it to you, I guess is the best way I can put it. But if something is not being understood well, I pray that you forgive me in that arena as well. But for right now, I also want to go into a little bit of a prayer. So just pray with me for a second. God, we come to you this morning and we thank you for the many blessings that you've given us. We thank you for being able to be here in this room among believers, God, that we can commune together and just feast on your word, Lord, even at 9:30, 10 o'clock, whatever time it is right now, God. And I pray that I can be eloquent in my speech and that you would shine through that, God, and that these people who are hearing it, Lord, this morning will come away with what you are trying to get across to them, God. And I thank you, and I love you. We love you, and it's in Jesus' name. All right. So if you haven't already noticed, our theme is forgiveness. Most of us here knows what it feels like to be fully forgiven by someone. We know it when our friendships are restored. We know it when our husband or wife or girlfriend, boyfriend relationship is healed. We can remember a certain incidence of fault within ourselves. You know, that little twinge of embarrassment about something that you did a long time ago and you just have not ever let it go. We also know that whatever happened is still a part of our past, but we know not to tread there again, but only to view it as something to learn from. And this, that's when we know forgiveness. That's, we have this closure. Also, our lives and our testimonies are constant reminders of forgiveness. We were saved by the King. We have His full forgiveness. We are living testimonies of the ultimate forgiveness. Why we have been forgiven by the King Himself, and why we need this forgiveness so that we can forgive others as well, is our testimony. Colossians 1:13-14 says, He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And there is no better case of forgiveness than that of the willing transference of our seemingly unforgivable stance from darkness into the kingdom in which the Holy One rules. Now, this morning, there's three forms of forgiveness that I want to embrace. I'm a woman, so the only thing that I've heard of is a three-point sermon. So that's it's kind of the gist, but whatever. We don't get technical. The first is God's forgiveness to us. Now, I know this seems obvious. Yeah, okay, so God gave us Christ who died for our sins. This is what we're taught since Sunday school, or if you haven't had Sunday school when you were a kid, this is what you've been taught since you accepted Him. But truly, truly, God's forgiveness is by far the most gracious of pardons that you will ever receive in your life. The fact that we deserve nothing more than to suffer and to waste away in the valley of death, yet He plucked us from the valley and set us in the kingdom of His beloved Son. That is a forgiveness you do not forget. That is a forgiveness you do not betray. That is a forgiveness that you get excited about and that we're called to live out. The way in which He is able to forgive us is cause for nothing less than the constant adoration for His Son's utter obedience in becoming death for us in our place, completely taking on all we should be punished for, simply because He cared and loved us so much that He willingly sacrificed His very being to create for us a new life by forgiving our imperfect, sinful old selves, should we accept the new self being offered to us. Now, assuming everyone in here has accepted that new self and has at some point or another put that on, and we're here and we're trying to live that out, we can't help but remember our old self. It's really hard to forget what you've done. It's really hard to forget the dumb things that you've done in the past, the terrible things that you feel unforgivable for. And it's close, but obviously there is a Savior who thinks otherwise. The second point that I want to speak about today is forgiving ourselves. I know it's one of the biggest hurdles I have for myself. I get mad at myself. Most of the time, if I'm out there on the volleyball court and I do something stupid and you see me like air punch, it's because I'm mad at myself. Like, that's a really simple example, but it's one nonetheless. And like, I just get so mad at myself, and I know plenty of other people do, and they hold on to that. I and we can spend all day thinking about the terrible things that we've done and wonder why in the world did Christ sacrifice himself for such an awful person. Well, we are pretty awful. I'll give you that. I know I am, so I mean, I'm pretty sure I can say that about most of us. I like you guys. But we could also trick ourselves into thinking that his sacrifice was in vain when it came to my life or your life, because I or we could feel so unforgivable. Would you think so lowly or highly, however you want to think about it, of yourself to think that God incarnate, who came to earth to do the very thing that you can't do, would feel like that you couldn't be forgiven? Was his blood spilled so that you could think in your mind, I'm not worth it? Or that someone else isn't worth it? Well, we're not. But he did it nonetheless. That's what I'm trying to say. He did it because he loved us enough, and that's worth it. But Christ's sacrifice was given not to reject by thinking ridiculous things like, I'm unforgivable. If we were unforgivable, God probably would have decided just to wipe us out completely off the face of the universe. That's also if he didn't love us. He's not completely a God of wrath. He would not have gone through all the trouble in sending his son to earth to be killed just for kicks. And we'll see if this works. We need to forgive ourselves, bottom line. Of the things we did before Christ, even the things we have done in Christ. We need to forgive ourselves, and we need to learn from these things, and we need to grow, and we need to become some form of something better. Because if we don't become anything better, then we're always going to lay down in that pit and just sit there and just think to ourselves, I'm worthless, I can't do anything, I'm a sinful being, and that's all there is to it, even though I accepted Christ. And that is just ridiculous in itself. If God can forgive us of our wretchedness, we ought to be able to see his forgiveness working through our lives by also forgiving ourselves and our wretchedness. Now, for the third part. I think we can sort of all guess, I guess, is forgiving others. The power of God's forgiveness extends much into our lives. In fact, I would go so far to say that forgiveness should be an outworking of our love for God, especially in the form of forgiving others. People will fail us, point blank. There is no escaping the fallible nature of humanity. even the people closest to us, may bring us to a point where we feel that they too are unforgivable. In many cases, this is not true. If we can forgive ourselves, then what is stopping us from forgiving others? Ephesians 4:32 says, "Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you." It's really, really easy to hold a grudge against somebody. Even the tiniest little thing we can hold on to and just keep it in that tight fist and not let it go, even though we might have said that we did. Sometimes we don't. Even our Christian brothers and sisters, it is very easy to hold a grudge against someone, even our Christian brothers and sisters, because we feel more equipped to judge them because they know better. You know how when you were little and your parents taught you something and you did something bad anyway and they were like, "You ought to know better," and then they spanked you on the butt? Well, we kind of do that to each other. We're like, "You know better, so you better get it straight." But we won't spank each other. That's weird. If Christ extended forgiveness to all humanity, no matter how detestable their sins may seem, then it is for that reason that we should be so willing to extend that forgiveness to those who wrong us. Christ's forgiveness is like a pay it forward kind of gift. Since it was given to you so freely, we must be willing to give it to those who do not seem to deserve it. Because we didn't deserve it. We didn't deserve the forgiveness we received. Forgiveness is also a wonderful capacity, has a wonderful capacity to be a tool for witness. Now, we're all Christians, we're all here to build the kingdom, we're all here to be a witness in the world. So, it is a tool for witness. Forgiving others who may not even know Christ as their Savior might inquire why it is you're willing to forgive them of their wrongdoing against you. Here is where that one verse that says, boast in Christ alone. Here is where we boast in Christ. And not on our righteousness to forgive the heathen. We are given the capacity to take those who we need to forgive out of the domain of darkness, like that Colossians verse said, that Christ did for us. The domain of darkness in our hearts, and restore them as a person, as a friend, or whatever relationship they shared with you. Simply, forgiving others is a redeeming quality of God. Though we could never do it in the capacity in which He accomplished, we are instilled with this quality so that we might refine relationships and be an example of Christ's life. Because we have put on the new self, we have encountered Christ, we have encountered what He did to our sins, which was put them away, and we are called to do this as well to other people, ourselves. Now, forgiveness can only truly come through the decision to forgive and a heart willing to extend the grace that we have been forgiven by. The words cannot simply slip through our lips, and then many of us can say to ourselves, "I'll tell them I forgive them," and yet we still harbor these feelings against them. this is not true forgiveness in light of the love verses of 1 Corinthians 13, when it states, speaking about the characteristics of love, when it states that love does not keep a record of wrongdoing. We are to follow that. If we love someone who has done something that seems terrible, wretched, wrong, but the Creator, God Himself, loved us so much that He doesn't keep our sin in mind. He says, "You're covered by the blood of my Son. He bled for you. He died for you on this cross. He suffered eternity for you in hell." Well, a eternity for you in hell. Because that's what we deserve. But His blood covered everything. I don't know why we didn't sing Jesus Paid It All this morning. But that's basically... that's basically what this is. The love of God is seen in the perfection of His plan of salvation, redemption, and forgiveness of our sin, which bathes us in grace. This is what we are to extend to our fellow human beings, just as God extended it to us fully and willingly through the sacrifice of His Son on the cross. This is what we're here for. This is why we do what we do. This is why some of us are willing to give up an entire life of making money and just getting things of this world. Because we are called to go out, no matter where we are, forgiving these people, forgiving people who have wronged us, and then going out and teaching people the forgiveness of Christ. We are not called to sit in our pity ponds. We are not called to clothe ourselves in despair because of what we've done. We are to rip off that cloak of despair and completely love the self that we have made us, that Jesus has made us to be, because we have accepted Him. I know a lot of us here are dealing with issues of the past, issues of people hurting us, issues of ourselves hurting ourselves, which doesn't make any sense because it's as if we're out for our own demise. But that's not okay, but, you know, we'll find a way. But this is it. We talk about it over and over and over and over again. I know you guys have not heard this message before. I know this is not all new material for you. I know a lot of you might even be yawning because you've heard this before. You say, okay, this is not new. You know, we hear it in class. We hear it everywhere. We hear it in church. But I want you guys to know that this place, this university right here, is not a place to grow cold to the gospel. Because this is a place where you fire it up. For the gospel. This is a place where you take that forgiveness that you're given and you harbor that and you completely think to yourself, wow, this is freedom. This forgiveness is freedom. It has unchained me from this world. It has unchained me from my sin, and I can go out into this world, not be of it, but go into it and fight this battle in Christ's name. Win our brothers and sisters by preaching and teaching the forgiveness that Christ gave us, that we have accepted for ourselves, because we can forgive ourselves, because we can forgive others, because all this petty nonsense that goes on within my mind and within your mind is not worth it. It's not, because we have bigger things to focus on. A lot of times we forget the big picture because we're here in this tiny and awesome university, and we can see each other and we get focused on, oh, I should have studied for this more. I hate myself for that and all this stuff. And yeah, that's important. It is. But I'm telling you, the little things like that are not as important as focusing on the forgiveness that Christ has given us through his sacrifice, through his reaching out to us in this way. He loves us. That's why he forgave us. That's why he came and died on the cross. That's why he accepted God's will for him. That's it. We have been washed, literally, in the blood of the Lamb, the final sacrifice. That's why we don't go out, that's why we don't have altars on this campus and go out and sacrifice a lamb, spotless and pure, because it's already been done, completely, over with. Embrace this forgiveness. Embrace the message you have. Embrace the light that lives in you. And go out. Go out from here. I know I struggle with that, but we can do it. We can accept this forgiveness fully. And we can love one another through it. Well, I'm going to pray, and then you guys are dismissed after I pray. God, we thank you for your love. We do every day. You are the reason why we are still here on this earth. You're the reason why we get to do what we do. You're the reason why we're here on this campus. You're the reason for everything, everything. You're the reason why I'm standing up here breathing into this microphone and giving this message, God. And Lord, I praise you for that. And Lord, I thank you for the forgiveness that your son showed on the cross. I thank you that we are bathed in your grace and that it is just so abundant, God, that we get to share it. And Lord, I pray as we go out of here, if we need to forgive someone ourselves, that we pray to you, God, about it. We talk to you constantly about it, God, because it is a healing process, Lord. Now I pray that you heal our hearts. And God, I just praise you for the forgiveness that you have given me personally. I praise you for the forgiveness that you have given my friends here, because God, we need it, and you have willingly given it to us. God, you are awesome and holy and wonderful, and my heart overflows with it, God, but I don't have time to stand here and talk about it all day, God, but Lord, I thank you, and God, I pray that we can go out and go out to our classes and just be focused, God, because you have called us here to do some work. And Lord, thank you for this day. And I thank you for many more that you may have planned to come. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.